welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to Guardian Talk Radio on 96.9 FM. Don't forget that aside from listening to us, you can live stream the show. You can go to www.guardiantalkradio.com. You can click on the live stream button. You can download the app, the Guardian Radio app, from the App Store Play Store. You can listen to it on our radio, which is one of those things in the car, or if you're really old and those little boxy things that your grandmother has and you just to turn the dial. But you can also, if you miss the show or you are about to go somewhere and you're getting out of the car, we archive them on our website, which actually we were talking about archiving. So if you go to our website, you go to www.nagb.org.bs and you go to the education menu and you scroll down to Blank Canvas, you will find all of the archive shows and a little picture of us in the studio, and you can read a little blurb and you can listen to all the shows. So so they're there for your enjoyment. So go there and listen to them. And then while you're on the website, please do visit our calendar, because not only do people think they need to be personally invited to our openings, which they don't, I'm inviting you now, just come please, they also don't realize how much we have going on. So we always have free movies every month in the amphitheater. We do workshops. We just recently just missed the sale in the shop for Christmas, but the shop's still open and it's full of Bahamian products and it's awesome. We have specially made straw stockings. So they're stockings that you can hang made of straw by some local ladies. And we have lots of really sweet little items, so you can go to the shop. We have talks. We have lectures. We have all kinds of things. Most of the time, everything's free, unless there's materials involved, like for a workshop. Sometimes there's a small fee. But generally, most of the programming we do is free and open to the public, so we really encourage you to come on down. We have fourth Sundays every month. So at the end of the month, the fourth Sunday is free and we have guided tours. Not this month because it's Christmas and everybody needs a holiday, but generally fourth Sundays. So the NAGB is always free on Sunday, but on the fourth Sundays you get a free tour guide as well. So go to the calendar, see what's happening and come on down. So now we're going to hear a little bit from Matthew.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, Matthew. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Matthew just got back from Boston.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your journey, Matthew. So you have been at UB studying fine art. You have worked at the NAGB.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done amazing work with our collection. And you are now going off to do your tertiary education at Montserrat College outside of Boston. So tell us a little bit about that. I know you just were there visiting and you're not really starting officially till January, but give us a little backstory.
Okay, sure. Earlier this year, one of my lecturers, Michael Edwards, took me and two other students, Cordia and Jarrett, and we went to visit Montserrat. And, you know, everybody's like, okay, this is an opportunity to see how other people are doing it, to engage with different art students and art people working in the arts and museums. And it's like, this is an exceptional opportunity just to go and be a part of the global art community. So we went, we enjoyed ourselves, we had a beautiful time, and on our way out, they offered us scholarships. So
just like that?
You know, Mr. Edwards did a lot of work behind the scenes, and we didn't realize that we were auditioning and being interviewed.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it was a beautiful experience, and in a lot of ways, it took the pressure off. You know, mm-hmm. We were just allowed to speak about our practice in ways that came natural to us, in ways that we'd been doing for so long at UB and in the community, and just talking about the work and enjoying the work and being, you know, ambassadors. And that's what we thought we were doing, and in a lot of ways, that's what we're doing. And because of who we are and because of the work that we've done and because of what's been poured into us here, we were able to take advantage of that and really be welcomed by a whole new genre of people. And it was a beautiful experience. And I'm so thankful to Mr. Edwards and everybody else that's been a huge part of getting me forward and pushing me and really advancing my own personal dreams and aspirations and my hopes for nation building and what I can do and give to the community. So,
good, so you're coming back?
Oh, of course.
That's the main. Yeah, I forgot to ask Utavia that. Utavia, you're coming back, right? Okay, good, good. Okay, that's the main thing because, you know, too often we go off, right? And then we get stuck off. Right, right. Yeah. So that's good to hear. And so when do you? So you were just up. So what was that like? How was it for you?
Cold.
I know, you know, I introduced Matthew to a friend of mine in Boston just because I thought it'd be nice to have like a local to, you know, be in touch with. And I wrote and I said, you know, Camilo, meet Matthew, Matthew, meet Camilo. And I thought his first email was so funny because it was like, I'm here. And, you know, if you need help, because, you know, but he was like, make sure you have a coat, yeah, make sure you have thick socks. and he had this like shopping list. Yeah, and when I saw, I ran into Camilo recently and he was like, you know, I just wasn't sure if he really knew what a Boston winter was really like. So I just wanted to make sure he was like well prepared.
Yeah. I had to get boots when I was there. I spent the first 2 days sliding everywhere I was going,
I'm sure.
I had to make those adjustments. But it was a beautiful time. I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about Refuge and the work you've done for the show and your, I mean, again, you experienced it here because you were part of our team and you were part of, even part of like the idea to, you know, again, come up with the idea for the show. So we've been planning to have a show by an artist called Purvis Young, who is had a Bahamian mother and Bahamian grandparents, but is largely claimed by the U.S. and we're trying to like reclaim him for ourselves. And we had him scheduled for the month of December, but you know we all agreed like no. So tell us a little bit about the process of like sort of going through and, you know, whether from the energy perspective or from your own perspective, just of kind of like coming to terms with that and coming to think about how to make work to respond to that.
Well, I think that being at the National Art Gallery has definitely changed my practice. I had to think about community in ways in my work that, you know, I was always trying to do, but it gave me the courage and the ability to dig into the work a little bit more. So I've been thinking about how to respond to what's going on in our country in a lot of ways. And so when the storm hit, I think that we all recognize the need to have that conversation and we're thinking about ways to do it. And I'm just happy that my work was already gearing up and was in line with that energy and that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's a part of the show. But it became very clear to everybody at the gallery, as you know, that there was something that we could do and that we had to focus on what we're used to doing and what we're good at doing and provide that service to our fellow Bahamians, you know, because like you're saying earlier, it's very hard to be away from people who are a part of you and when they need help. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, so it's actually interesting. So we had the experience almost like Utavia was speaking about, like watching it through a screen and that sort of psychological. And I think in a way we had that experience too here, although it was still different because we were at home and it did actually hit New Providence. I mean, not big time, but I mean, we got that edge. We had flooding. We had, again, there were issues here. I mean, I know people here that lost roofs and things, but we're also kind of not talking about that because we're so focused on the others. And so we experienced it in a different way. So it was kind of like, we were also like, you know, it wasn't bad here at all.
Yeah.
Where it kind of, actually kind of what was for some people. I mean, not everybody, but also had that distance, also had that waiting and watching. And so it was weird. It was somewhere in between kind of your experience of being so distanced and being actually in it. There was this sort of weird combination, which also was like a real mind F. I don't want to say that word, but you know, it was
yeah. And in a lot of ways that's what my work is about. It's about it's about this distance that we have. I was telling some of our panelists today that the work deals with us taking a look at the ocean, and you know, us as Bahamians, we have a very different relationship with the sea than other people do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun and the beauty of it and, you know, the work that's connected to it can often detach us from the horror of what the ocean can do, because it's this powerful, powerful thing, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A friend of mine posted something shortly thereafter, I mean, it wasn't like the next day, but it was, you know, it was maybe even 2 weeks later. And it was, you know, he went down to the beach with his family and he was filming it and it was all just kind of very like peaceful way. And it's like, oh, isn't it fantastic? And I almost on his Instagram was like, well, unless it's in your living room, you know, it's not. Yeah. But then I was like, okay, maybe I don't want to put all that sort of, you know, and it's funny too, how you're sort of like, should I talk about it? Shouldn't I talk about it?
Right.
I don't want people to like feel, I don't want to be kind of seeming like I'm trying to get sympathy, but at the same time, I want people to like wake up, because the ocean actually is going to be in your living room, no matter where you live. If you live anywhere, like within 10 miles, you know, at some point.
Yeah, it's something.
So it is really interesting too, and I think you're right. Like we have this, we've always looked at the ocean in a specific way, and I guess it's always been a danger because fishermen, you know, the reality of it, we've had hurricanes before, like again, all those things, we've lost people before, lost people to sea, but now it's really different.
Yeah, it's very, very different, you know. So what I was trying to do with the work is trying to have a conversation about that thing that's always present in our minds. We always know that it's a possibility, but because we have to live and because we have to, you know, struggle through and be a part of the now, we kind of push it to the back. It's not something that we're always thinking about. And we were talking about how with the storm, we could watch the videos, but at sometimes we had to turn off the phones. We had to, I'll never forget, those 2 days after the storm, I'd never seen so many people out on the fry, and because people were just trying to get away from it all. They were just trying to operate in a different space, because at some point it becomes very, very heavy to deal with. And my work is about trying to remove yourself, but also this ever-present knowing that this is something we're always going to have to deal with.
It's kind of like this weird threat kind of outside our,
just always there.
But then again, we also have this relationship with tourism, so we have to always be like happily frolicking in the water as well, right? So it's kind of like a weird tension, right?
Exactly. You know,
and it's very peaceful. I mean, right? I mean, again, like I do love the water. I love looking at it. It is. I mean, it's been proven that if you like look at the water every day, or you live near a lake, it does actually calms you. So it's a really interesting sort of psychological tension. Again, we're going back to the psychology.
Most definitely, like. One thing I was thinking about is jet skis will never be the same again, you know, because before there were this, you know, they were like motorcycles of the ocean. You could see people, you know, doing tricks on them and they're riding them to have fun and, you know, but now they're tools of rescue.
Survival,
you know, if you're in jet skis allowed for so much recovery to happen, like at the drop of a hat, that if people didn't have them for their work.
Yeah, it's true.
So many more people would have died. We would be looking for so many more people. And that's something that we're always going to have to think about and be aware
of. It's like the knight on his stallion, right, is now a jet ski operator on his jet ski. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Okay, so well, we wish you, again, like we're so excited for your journey. How many years are you going to be away from us?
Hopefully just two.
Oh, good. Okay, well, that's not so bad. Yeah. All right. Okay, good. Oh, phew. I thought it was more. And you're going to come home regularly?
I'm going to come home regularly.
Good. Yes. I'm like second mother here, you know, so it's like, you know, I know. Make sure. And what degree will you finally have? What is the, is it painting? Is it expanded painting? Is it sculpt? Like what is
this
your...
This is going to be interdisciplinary.
Interdisciplinary. Yeah. Okay, great. So which is what everyone's doing these days.
Yeah.
Which is great, right?
Yeah.
So it's just going to open wide for you. You can experiment and do all kinds of things. Is there any one thing in particular you're just kind of like waiting to get your hands on?
Oh, definitely sculpture, metalwork, bronze work. I would love to get into some of that.
Oh, okay, yeah, so you're going to be another John Beadle. All right.
Yeah.
which is a compliment. That's great. That's exciting. I've always felt that handling material is something very close to ourselves. So it'll be interesting to see where you go, Matthew. So everyone, again, come out, meet Matthew Rahming.
Yes.
He will also be at the opening. I'm hoping all the artists will be there. I will later say, I assume, to pull up how many artists from where, because we have artists from all over the Bahamas, and that's what's so amazing too, not just about this show, but recently we've been really growing our reach and our communication and the involvement with the Family Islands. You know, we have our Inter-Island Family Exhibition, which we've taken now to Grand Bahama, Eleuthera, Andros, Long Island, where else have we been? We've been to a lot of places. Exuma, yeah. So And we're seeing a lot more participation with family and artists. So we have many, not just because they're here, because they've moved, but really like from the family islands. And I'll find that list and I'll let you know. After the break, we are going to go to that quickly. We're going to meet some more artists who will be participating in the show. And you are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery. And you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.